Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Wednesday night shiur. Great to see everybody. This week's parsha is Parshas Bamidbar, and we are approaching Chag HaShavuos. Parshas Bamidbar describes the numbers, the census of Klal Yisrael, and it also describes the formation by which we walked in the desert. We're going to learn a Ramban that is a little bit esoteric, a little bit vague at first, and it will go into a real halachic sugya. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but let's start with the Ramban. That if you think that, okay, Reuven traveled on the east, okay, what's the big deal? And this Shevet traveled on the south, what's the big deal? Oh, no, no, no. The Ramban really waxes Kabbalah over here in Perek Beis of Bamidbar, Pasuk Gimel, and he writes, the first Makor on the sheet, V'od Ra'isi B'Midrash, U'Kishem Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arba Ruchos HaOlam, in the same way that Hashem, what, created the world with, what, here, Adam, it's going to you, Carp 18 and Optimum, for a second time. Let's see if you got it. Moshe, you got the Makoros? All right, if you don't have to look at Abe, you got him?
I got
him. All right. So, Kach Sivev Likiso Arba Chayos. So, wait a minute. Hashem created the world with four Ruchos. Similarly, he surrounded his Kisei HaKavod with Arba Chayos. Whoa. And the Degalim correspond to that, meaning there were four directions, north, east, south, west, etc. Amar lo mizrach, shemimenu yotze or la'olam. Light goes out from the east, so that is Yehuda. Whoa. Yehuda is in the east, shehu bal malucha. Yehuda represents the shevet that houses the kingship, and Yisachar is the bal haTorah, and Zevulun is the bal haShirus. So all of a sudden, the Ramban is pointing out that every different Shevet had their own Midah, their own strength, and that actually explains why they're in that direction, meaning the direction of the East needs certain Midos, and they're going to go first for a certain reason. Who goes second? The South. Who's in the South? Reuven. Reuven represents Tshuva. Why did he do Tshuva for? Reuven? Right after what? Why does Reuven represent Shuvah? Well, two reasons. Very good. Yeah. What do they do? Bilah, right? The bed, right? And also, right, for Yosef. So Reuven represents being a Baal Shuvah, and the south traveled after the east, right? First, the east would travel. So who is in the east? Yisachar is Torah. So writes the Ramban the following. V'had Shuvah Mida Tova. Shuvah, obviously, is essential. Hashem has mercy. Reuven b'tshuva, and they travel second. Shehatshuva shnia hi l'Torah. Tshuva is second to Torah. Again, this is really Kabbalah. I don't want to get too detailed. I don't even know how to explain this exactly. But the first group that went involved Yisachar on the east. They had Torah, beautiful. And the second group that marched had tshuva. Torah number one, tshuva number two. Fascinating. So I wouldn't have thought anything of this line of Ramban. I would have been part of the Ramban that I would have skipped because it's Alpi Kabbalah and I don't really know exactly how to make heads or tails of this Ramban. But one of my Rebbeim in life is the great Rabbi Moshe Benovitz, the founding, director of NCS White Kollel, a Rebbe of mine. And he once quoted the great Rav Yitzchak Kuttner in the Pachat Tshuva on a Maimer on Yom Kippur. And since then, I've looked it up, and there, Rav Huttner really elaborates on this theme. But overall, the Baalei Machshava really dwell, believe it or not, on this concept of tshuva being second to Torah. Again, without going into the other levels of the Baalei Machshava, but this evening, let's focus on a halacha whereby you may not separate tshuva and Torah. What am I referring to? Teaching a Talmud Torah when he himself has not yet done tshuva. Can you teach someone who's a bad person? And let me make it a little bit more dramatic. The high schools, they are required to take kids who apply to their schools in eighth grade. Do they have the luxury of also rejecting a kid? Does TABC, for example, have to accept every applicant? Of course not. What if the parent says, but if you don't accept my kid, I'm going to send the kid to public school. And what if you accept the kid? What's going to happen? TABC might become a little bit more like public school. If the kid is not really up to yeshiva par, maybe he doesn't have good midos, maybe he's involved with bad things. A very, very real shaila. Very real shaila. People have lost sleep over this shaila. And there is a tension between the heads of the schools and the pulpit rabbis. Because someone like Rabbi Markowitz will call maybe the head of school and say, how could you not accept my congregant? This kid is a gem. And the head of school might say, someone else should take him. I don't, you know, very, very real stuff. One time, just to skip to a good story, and obviously, you know, we'll have a more sympathetic tone this evening. One kid was not accepted to CABC many years ago. Everyone on the board of admissions said, no, no, no. We all left for the summer after months of appeals from the family. You got to take it. You got to take my kid. He's not accepted any yeshiva. You got to take the kid. And the school felt it was not good for the school. If this kid comes to TABC, it's not good for, it's just not good. And not every kid is up to, you know, the, you know, can't handle yeshiva. Maybe they need the services from Bergen County and public school, and they'll get a tutor, a private rebbe. We come back in September, the kid is enrolled into TABC. I didn't care that much. However, one of the administrators went to the head of school at the time and said, how did you let this happen? And you know what he said? You try saying no to Rabbi Binyamin Yudin. So it wasn't a fair loan kid, but Rabbi Yudin was involved. And he essentially wasn't going to take no for an answer. And you know what? That kid is a feather in TABC's cap today. A feather in the TABC Hall of Fame. I graduated a Ben Torah, a walking Kiddush Hashem, although he was not like that at all in the eighth grade. Yikes. Real stuff. So let's really begin with the first mission Pirkei Avos. As we know, the preparation for Shavuos is Pirkei Avos, right? The minhag is to learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos and even beyond, right, in the summer. And the first mission Pirkei Avos, one of the major lessons that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola taught was what? Ve'emidu Talmidim Harbe. Have a lot of students. That sounds pretty innocuous. Just have a lot of students. However, it's not true. That comment is coming to exclude Ashita. Because not all the Tanaim agreed with that. There's an Avos to Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan's version, so to speak, of Pirkei Avos, the ethical teachings of Rabbi Nassan, quotes a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The third Makor on the sheet. Beis Shammai omrim, al yishan adam, ela, l'mishu chacham, ve'anav, uben avos ve'ashir. There's a very clear criteria. Don't teach any stam, Joe. He should be wise and humble. Uben avos. I don't know exactly what, maybe good yichus. Good yichus. Maybe he carries on the minhagim of his family. Ve'ashir. Figure that one out. But why you can't teach a poor kid? What does that mean, Adam?
It's very hard for poor kids to learn.
But why? Beis Shammai has a more exclusive list. I'm saying it to me. It's a, you know, we have to figure out why those are maybe justified. I mean, where is Beis Shammai coming from with the monetary aspect there? However,
that means his other needs are being met, so he can, like Adam said, he can benefit from the learning, so he can apply himself.
Meaning what? If he's
poor,
but
he's not.
I get it. I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying, Adam. Very good. What do you mean? Teach everyone except the kids yeshiva. Why? Here's the key line. Shaharbe poshim hayu behem be Yisrael. There were many evil men in the Jewish people. V'niskarvu l'talmud Torah. They were brought close to Torah. V'yatsu mehem Tzadikim, Chasidim, Uksheirim. And you look down the line, what emerged from them? Wonderful people. Wonderful people. Now, what I love about that sheet of Beis Hillel is that he's thinking long term. What did he say? He didn't say the guy is going to become the next Gadol Ador. He said they'll get closer, and the next generation will be a little better. And the generation after that will be a little better. Tzadikim chasidim b'ksheirim. Second story of the evening. I was teaching a kid in TABC, and he said, you know, my grandparents told me that you're only frum because of me. Excuse me, young man? Said, apparently your grandparents, when they were in Queens, were deliberating whether or not to send your mother to yeshiva or not. And they met with the shul rabbi in Kew Garden Hills, Queens. He said, that rabbi was my great-grandfather. So my great-grandfather was the one who gave your grandparents the advice to send your mother to a Jewish day school instead of public school. That kid obviously made the whole story. High school kids are brilliant. They'll do anything for an A. No. But apparently that's a true story. I didn't, you know, make him quote his sources. But you think long term. So my mother ends up getting put into whatever school in Queens. And then it leads to things, right? Beautiful. We could end the shiur here if it was a drusha, right? Beautiful. It's Daven Musaf. However, so Wednesday night shiur, we got to see the other side of the coin. Says the Gemara Chulin, Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Alef. To Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol HaShona L'Talmud She'en Hagud, No Fold the Gehenim. You teach Torah to a student who's not good, you're going to burn in Gehenim. Whoa. And he quotes multiple Pesukim. And then the next Gemara in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yizeir, Amar Rav, Kol HaShona L'Talmud She'en Hagud, Kizorik Evel Markolis. Now we're comparing you to an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Markolis was a type of Avodah Zarah that you would throw a stone at it. So the Mefarshim explained this in multiple ways, whatever you could say, the Torah is compared to an Evan, right? There's a lot of ways to go here. However, one of the Pshatim in the Aruch HaShulchan and others is as follows. You think you're doing a good thing when you throw a stone at the Avodah Zarah because you're trying to denounce it, but really it's not a good idea. Why? Because when you throw a stone at the Markolis, what are you doing? You're worshiping it. The way to worship that Avodah Zarah is by throwing stone at it. So you think you're trying to say, ha! I'm throwing a stone at the Avodah Zarah to show that I think it's worthless. No! By throwing the stone at it, you're actually ironically worshiping it. That's how you worship the thing.
Even worse, because when you throw a stone at the Avodah Zarah, it becomes part of the Avodah Zarah. So if you throw Torah at someone who's not going to use it properly, he's going to turn it around.
Dr. Karp turns this Gemara into a beautiful pshat that's going to be Muhammad to the Rishonim. Excellent, Adam. You think you're doing a good thing by throwing Torah at this kid, but it's not good. It's not good. He's going to use it for bad, says Adam. Exactly, pshat. So there's an explicit Gemara in Chulin, Kuvla Amin Gimel, which said, it's just wrong. Oof, and I've seen this as well, where people who are not ready for Torah, and they hear a little bit of Torah, it can become very humiliating. It can become a big Chilul Hashem. And they take the Torah that you're trying to teach them, and they use it to make fun of the Torah. It's a very dangerous thing whereby you don't know who you're dealing with and you don't realize they're not looking to learn, they're not looking to grow. They're going to twist the Torah on its head and it's very dangerous. Ooh. So already the Mechave in Tel Vishonim. But it should be noted there's a major machlokus in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. You can't speak about the Sugya without discussing the machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel versus Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yoshua said that davening Marv was only a rishus. We don't paskin that way for men. And Rabbi Gamaliel was the Rosh Hashiva, and he paskin that Marv was an absolute obligation. And how do you think Rabbi Gamaliel felt when he found out that someone disagreed with him? He said, who here disagrees with my Shita and holds Chas v'Shalom that Arvis is not a chova? Everyone remained quiet. No one would dare disagree with the Rosh Hashiva. But Rabbi Gamaliel said, well, I heard that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Is that true? Rabbi Yeshua had nothing to say. And Rabbi Gamaliel said, stand up. And he continued to teach while Rabbi Yeshua was punished. And the punishment was he had to stand while everybody else sat. Go to timeout. Go to the corner. Put on a humiliating hat. You know, contemporary examples. But the Talmidim did not appreciate this. They actually did not want to learn from Rabbi Gamaliel. They said, we can't go on with this. They actually told the interpreter, stop translating. Amod. Ad kamet sa'an etzare ben ezel. You're going to just let Rabbi Yehoshua be humiliated? We would like to learn Torah from someone else. And the community dismissed the Rosh Yeshiva. And they said, who else are we going to have? Who's going to be the next Rosh Yeshiva? Maybe Rabbi Akiva doesn't have the proper yichus. Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah said, okay. All right, but I'm too young. And the Pesach Seder chimes in, right? The white beard comes in. Not for this evening. But again, Rabbi Zerben, he's got the job. He's a chacham, he's an usher, and he's a descendant of Ezra. So again, those all were very practical considerations of the Gemara. Why the Rosh Yeshiva needed to have protectia and political pull. But guess what? Rabbi Zerben Azari became the Rosh Yeshiva. I underlined it. Tana. Oso hayom salku l'shomer ha-Pesach. They removed who? The bouncer at the door of the yeshiva. The admissions department was fired. We no longer need to inspect the Talmidim. Because who's invited now to our yeshiva? Any Jew. Any Jew who wants to come. All Jews, you're welcome to the yeshiva of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Shehayu Rabbi Gamliel Machriz Ve'omer. Rabbi Gamliel, when he was a yeshiva, he disagreed. He said, Kol Talmud She'eino Tocha Kabaru Lo Yikanos Lebeis HaMidrash. If your insides don't match your outsides, don't bother coming to my yeshiva. If you dress the part, you wear a nice button-down shirt, but let's just say after school's over, you can be found doing a questionable activity, I'm not interested in you becoming a Talmud of mine. You need to be transparent. But Rabbi Lazar ben Azari took over and said, I want you guys. Everybody's in. And they added numerous benches to the base. Measures that day. So machlok is whether they added 400 extra benches or 700 extra benches. There's so many Talmidim learning. And Rabbi Gamliel saw this. And the Gemara says he had chalishas hada'as. And he said, Dilma chas v'shel menasi Torah Yisrael. Maybe I was wrong. I prevented so many Jews from learning Torah. But he had a dream that evening. What was he showing in the dream? Chivare, chatz be'chivare demayan kitma. A white vessel filled with ashes. So what was Hashem showing him in his dream? White vessel with ash in the middle. What do you think? What does that mean? Don't. Tohu gebarahu. Meaning what? Don't be so impressed. Don't think that you were wrong. Why? Because you see all these extra Talmidim that what? They look good on the outside. They have the white kalim, so it's like a white vessel, beautiful vessel. But what? It's only ashes on in the inside. Meaning, Rabbi Gamliel, you don't be so hard on yourself. You knew what you were talking about. You knew who to reject. And don't have chalishas adas. But then the Gemara says his dream was only given to him so that he would feel better. Velohi, that dream was a farce. Haili tuve daitehu. That was just to make him calm down, to make him feel better. Wow. So if we were to paskin based on this Gemara, who should we paskin? Like Gamliel? To be a little bit more exclusive, or to be more like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, to be more inclusive. What would you say? Yeah, no-brainer, right? No-brainer.
Depends on, there's only one school. There was only one yeshiva then. Today there's 100.
Very smart. So AB says there can be different yeshivas with different standards.
In those days, that was the only standard. It was only one way or the highway.
Very good. Very good. So we're not going to go into the next source inside. It's the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz has a parish on Pirkei Avos Magen Avos, and he is the one who really puts all this together, where he points out that there's a stira between Pirkei Avos and Avos Derbi Nasan, and then he connects it to this Gemara in Brachos. So lest you think that I'm smart and I'm doing all this surgery by taking random makoros and kind of putting together nice and sheer, the Tashbetz, who lived in the 1300s, he did this well before this evening. But here's the curveball. Who's the Rishon that always throws the curveball? The Rambam. Guess who the Rambam Paskin's like? Not like Shlomo Menashe. He's going to Paskin like Rambam Gamliel. Ein melamdin divrei Torah, ela l'talmid hagun. Says the Rambam Hilchos Talmid Torah, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. Only teach Talmidim who are proper. Noe b'ma'asav, olatam, someone who's refined in character, or at least straightforward, seemingly tocho kabaro, right? There's a discussion about what that phrase tam really means, but seemingly speaking to the character traits. Aval, however, im haya holech b'derech lo tova, if the kid is a bum, machzirin oso l'mutav, first get him on the right derech, manhigin oso b'derech yishara, get him back on track, ubotkin oso, then inspect him, ve'achar kach machnisin oso l'beis ha-midrash, and then invite him into the yeshiva. And then he quotes those Gemaras in Chulin, which speak very negatively about those Rebbeim who decide to just teach Torah to Baal Tamidim. It's not a good thing. You think you're doing a good thing, it's not a good thing. And then parenthetically, it should be noted, the Rambam also paskins, the Rebbe also needs to be good. Here we're only picking on the Tamidim, the Rebbeim also need to be good. And by the way, I thought it was beautiful how the Tamidim were the ones who protested against Rabbi Gamaliel. They said, we don't want to learn from you. You're not treating Rabbi Yehoshua with respect. You're embarrassing him. We don't want to learn from you. So the Rebbe also needs to be domel malachai sharis, right? The concept is, right, the Torah says, kisifse kohen yishmeru das, right? That im domel harav l'malach hashem tzevakos, only if the Rebbe is like a malach, right? You know, like Rabbi Yudin, then we learn from him, right? So the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam over there says, the Rambam is passing the Rebbe Leo. Then the Kesef Mishnah himself says, you know what's ironic? The conclusion of the Gemara is not like Rabbi Gamaliel. So Shlomo Menashe's point, meaning Vasikna Hasam, Shelo Iskimo Al Yada, they didn't really agree to this. So why would the Rambam paskin like this? The Rambam knew how to learn Gemara. So what was the Rambam thinking when he said that don't teach a Talmud unless he's Tochel Gemara? There's a Gemara in Chulin that says you can't do it, right? Well, he's just picking Chulin over Elizabeth Nazaria, meaning there is a Gemara. You can't ignore the Gemara Chulin, right? Black and white sources. You can't teach Beit Talmidim. And the Shulchan Aruch passing is like the Rambam. Ein meladin Torah l'tamid she'en hagun. So you can't teach Torah to Talmud that's not fit. Again, ela machzirin oso, get him back on the derek first. And then only after that, you can get him back into the yeshiva. Shulchan Aruch yoredei reish memvav. Yikes. So let's take it to our admissions department. Seemingly, we could be pretty exclusive based on the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, no? We don't teach a Talmud Shein Hagun. Yikes.
So what's your definition of Shein Hagun?
Oh, so says Adam, we haven't even defined the most important term of the evening. What does it even mean to be Shein Hagun? Believe it or not, the great Rabbi Israel Meir Lau Shlita, Shulev Ameh V'Esrim, has a She'elos V'Tshuvo Sefer, Yachel Yisrael, I believe, in his second Tshuva in the entire Sefer, is about this sugya. And of course, he advocates to spread Torah. He does write that you shouldn't teach Torah to people who are mamish, anti-Orthodox, anti-religious, because they're going to twist the Torah, stuff like that. But a large chunk of that tshuva is even defining the term Eino Hagun. Very good. But imagine a yeshiva says to a parent, your kid has bad midos. He's known to be a bully on the bus. He curses. He was kicked out of summer camp for inappropriate activity. We're just not interested. Go to public school for a year. And if he looks like a Ben Torah after ninth grade, we'll take him in 10th grade. Very harif, very harsh, very cold. Is that a valid approach or not? What would you say? Says Shlomo, even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch seem to say that, it's very hard to just say that. Why? Well, you don't want to see a Jewish go to public school.
Yeah, but you're looking at it the wrong way.
I'm looking at it the wrong way.
Sorry.
I'm looking at it. You see these Talmidim Shein Hagun making fun of the Rebbe? These doctors, yeah.
She's looking at it. I mean, I've heard this from just different sources.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not him you're looking at, but what effect he's going to have on the rest of the class.
Very good. So says Adam, listen, man, listen. It's not about the kid, it's about the bigger picture. So you know what? If you accept some kid who's going to be an absolute bacteria, so to speak, he's going to be toxic for the learning environment, you essentially just stole from the remaining 20 parents in the room. So imagine the Eisensteiners pay a heavy chunk of change to send the brilliant Sam Eisensteiner, the new Abba. Mazel Tov, Harry. Wow. Not your first. Is it first grader? No. Second grader. Baruch. Big deal. It's a big deal. Baruch Hashem. And imagine how he calls him up and says, Mandelstam, I'm not paying you all this money so that so-and-so in the class can disrupt you. And instead of my kid learning from you for 40 minutes, you're just doing class and management for 40 minutes. It's Geneva, says Adam. It's a very valid issue. So says Adam, it's going to affect the rest of the class. And just this week in TABC, one of the general studies teachers said, we have a moral obligation to kick a kid out right away because you're just taking away from the education of all the other kids. And by the way, I was that goody two-shoes in junior year. I remember I was in AP Pio. All I wanted to do was learn. And these other kids, normal high school kids, at the end of the day, they're not going to let the teacher teach. And I remember thinking, I'm going to not get a 5 in this AP because of these kids. I remember thinking, I'm like, these kids are taking away my 5. My 5. Yikes, right? Did you get the 5? I did not get a 5.
That's why you're doing what you're doing. So
very good. Yeah, whatever. we round up in this religion. round up. Adam's a doctor here. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, halachic shaylos, you come to Adam also. But if he's not available, you go to Yehuda and Marcus. And then Howie. All right, let's go on. So let's try to put some heads and tails in the last 10 minutes of this year to see some subtleties, because there is a Gemara Pesachim that we're familiar with. It's underlined. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Olam Yasur Kadam B'Torah B'Mitzvos Avi Shalolishma Shemidok Shalolishma B'Lishma. Have you ever heard about starting somewhere? So in the beginning, you start learning for candy, for money,
for raisins,
and then eventually you get more lishma. So Tosfos says, whoa! I thought it's better to not learn Torah at all. The Gemara in Bacha says if you learn Shalom Lishma, better that you never create in the first place. So the Baal Tosfos, who's going to really describe the tone for the evening, says it depends on what your perspective is. If you're learning for kavod, you have an ulterior motive. You want your ego to be boosted. Okay, you know what? That's not so bad. That's not so bad. He writes like this. In Gemara, you're learning Lisyar ulekant ulekapeach aschaver v'alacha. Yikes. The kid who's really bad is learning to use the Torah to fight, to use it against his friends. Here, what's the deal? That he's learning for ulterior motives. He's lazy. So you need to motivate the kid with a piece of candy. But if his mom is learning for bad reasons, that's really, really bad. The Maharsha in Brachos over there, Yitzayin, his Chidush HaGadol, he says, a brisker chiluk. There are two types of lolishma. What's lolishma number one? You learn amanas lekaba pras. You want something in return. I'll learn, Ima, but where's my allowance? It's like in camps, they have the cocoa club. You wake up early, you go to Mishnah's, you get a hot cocoa, you get some hot chocolate. It's geschmack. A Thursday night Mishma with some doggies. Geschmack. What's the base? What's the second? You learn amanas lekanter alzeh. So lekanter, you're learning to abuse the Torah. You're learning to twist the Torah in his head. You're anti-religious. You want the Torah to use as a vehicle to poke fun, to use it chas v'shalom as those deviant Jews. You know, you think of medieval Spain where the Ramban, Vance Pablo Christiani, right? What was the issue with Pablo Christiani? He was a heretic, a Jew who knew all the Torah, and he was able to debate the Ramban because he knew the Torah. The Ramban won the debate. But that's what we're up against. Ooh. And this makes sense to Shulchan Aruch as well. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yoredei Reish Memvav in Hechash Talmud Torah, La'olam Yasuk Adam Torah, learn Torah, Afilu Shalolishma, even for ulterior motives. Shemitok Shalolishma Balishma, it'll start Shalolishma, you get some ices and Perek on the park, that's the only reason you'll learn Perek Yavo, so you get your ices. And then eventually you'll even come to Mandelstam Shir on Wednesday nights, where they only give raisins, right? This is still considered the Shema. This is not. I mean, we love the raisin, right? We love. You know, so the Shach. A Shach, Yordaya, doesn't get more geschmack than a Shach. He says, what's the difference? And he paskins like this. Marshal like this. Tosfos. What does it mean, Shalom Lishma? You want honor. You're learning so you get put up on the bulletin. They put your picture on the board. Student of the week. Employee of the month type of thing. That's fine. Aval hamolo min amnas lekanter noach lo shelo nivra. But if you use the Torah as a vehicle to protest against the religious, chas v'shalom. Now the Aruch HaShulchan is learning the Torah over here. And he's the one who says, why in the blazes did the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam paskin like Rav Gamliel? Yikes. And he essentially twists the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam to be like the Shach, like everyone else is explaining, and he says, that's really what the Rambam meant. That's really what the Shulchan Aruch meant. That you're allowed to teach someone who has an ulterior motive, but what does it mean? Who's a Talmud She'enu Hargun? Who's a Talmud She'enu Hargun? Adam, ask your own question. What's now the definition of a Talmud She'enu Hargun? It's only someone who what? Would learn, not because they want ISIS, but what? Who's really bad?
Weaponized.
Yeah, that's it. So that now we have a definition. Talmud She'enu Hargun, who halomid lekantir, it's like Bible criticism, right? Someone once asked me, can I borrow your sefer? I said, why? He says, because I really want to disagree with that sefer. I wanted to borrow one of my favorite svarim with an ulterior motive to criticize it. You know what I said? Yeah, I wasn't happy with him. So he was more of the Shem Shemaim than it sounded making it sound. I'm exaggerating, right? He just thought the Sefer had a problem with it. But now we have a conclusion. There's a difference between a kid who's a little lazy, who needs a kick in the pants, so to speak, versus someone who's like evil. So let's go back to that eighth grader who's deviant. He's got bad midos, right? Is he a Talmud She'enu Hargun? He's not going to use the Torah for bad. He's just not mature enough, is he, right? Very hard to mamish classify a Talmud in eighth grade as She'enu Hargun. She'enu Hargun, according to what we're saying, means he's dafka using the Torah intentionally to be against the Torah. Eighth graders are not that not strategic, right? Well, we say, eighth graders are bad, so that's what we originally thought the pshat was, that they don't have good midos. But now that we're learning on a deeper level, no, we're not saying don't teach kids that have bad midos. We're saying don't teach kids that are going to use the Torah for bad, which means there's room to teach kids who have bad midos. We could be a little bit more broad in our explanation of Eino Hagun. Now, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, right, the original Lubavitcher Rebbe, he has a knockout work on Hilchos Talmud Torah. And he paskins in this Hilchos Talmud Torah, Ein Malamdin Torah LaTalmud She'enu Hargun. You're not allowed to teach Torah to someone who's not Hargun. Again, so he goes with the classical pshat, not like with the pshat we made up over here with all the mefarshim and the Tamarsha. He says, first let the kid do tshuva, send him to public school for a year, and then after analyze if he did tshuva or not. But then he writes, V'im I efshar lahachzir lemutav tchila. What if you don't have the luxury of sending him to boot camp first? What if you're being pressured by the community? You better take this kid or else we're going to write about you. What if you're head of school and three pulpit rabbis show up in your office and you better take this kid? You're being forced. You're being pressured. Mamish the sif in Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Tehei smol doche. What does that mean? We use the weaker hand to push away and the stronger hand to bring close. So we paskin like Shlomo Menashe. We paskin like Rabbi Yudin on this. We essentially urge the schools to take kids because we don't view public school necessarily as a valid approach. Now, a learning specialist will argue, no, you don't get it, man. And this is where there's genuine tension between the schools and the shuls. The schools will say, this kid's brain will be better served in a different learning environment. Don't get the kid a tutor. And you know what? There's a desperate need in our community to have a Talmud Torah for Orthodox kids in public schools. There's a very real movement out there that's trying to create that. Because you have kids who will be serviced properly in public school to get, you know, government-funded services. And there should be an avenue in yeshivas for those individuals. It's a very real issue. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav sets the tone. That, again, Small docha, the weaker hand pushes away, and the right hand brings close. All the poskim, essentially in our generation, Chazon Ish, Rabbi Lau, echoed before, all of them say think broadly. And the way we do it nowadays is that the schools view it as a team effort. You can't have one school take all the problematic kids. We say, okay, you take these kids, I'll take these kids, and they're supposed to draft a little bit and divide them up. And that would be the way that we try to do this. But obviously, it could be sticky because, let's say, it's a very, very sensitive sugya. But I think at a minimum, the goal for this evening, as the Ramban started, that tshuva is shnia l'torah. What's ironic about the Ramban, he says, Torah first, tshuva second. Let's not forget about the fact that we learned the opinion of Beis Hillel. You don't know what this kid's made of until you throw him in the Beis Medrash. Torah one, and then the tshuva will come second. Right? Yisachar marched first to the east, and then Reuven marched second. So that is the approach we try to take as much as possible. Get these kids into the Beis Medrash as often as possible, and boy, you'll see how they do tshuva. The only kid in my TABC I ever said, don't accept that kid. One of my favorite kids in my history of teaching. My favorite kid. Kid's a gem. He's a gem. Love that kid. And in eighth grade, I said, don't take him. Right? The only time I ever said, don't take a kid. One of my favorite kids in the history of my education, in my experience.
Right? The ones that you wanted.
The Torah does a lot of magic. We'll just say it like that. Let's dive in Marv. Okay.